Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's one of my all-time favorite comedians. If you've not seen him live yet, you've missed out. I cannot tell you how fast you need to jump online and buy the ticket now, if there's any at all.
Born March 6th in Los Angeles, California. Growing up in South Central, he managed to avoid a life in the streets, taking a job as a telemarketer before his wife convinced him to try his hand at comedy. He was the original host of BET's Comic View. Alongside Cedric the Entertainer, Steve Harvey and the late Bernie Mac, he was one of the original kings of comedy. He starred in his own sitcom, HBO and Netflix specials, hosted his own CNN show, and appeared on Dancing with the Stars. And this weekend, you can see him live on stage at the Improv. Please welcome, D.L. Hughley.
How have you been, D.L.?
I've been wonderful. How you been, man?
Good, man. Better than I deserve, for sure. We're just gearing up for Thanksgiving next week. I'm doing what I always do and run away from my own family and head to Manhattan to disappear for three or four days.
Man, you know, it's so funny because Thanksgiving is so much different because now families are so much more accepting. You're going to have, like, gay family members or atheist family members or, you know, conservative or liberal family. I think the one thing families universally will not accept is vegans. I think we all hate vegans.
Yeah.
I've never seen so many fat-ass vegans in my life.
No. You can't even explain it. Greg, who's a little heavy on this show, one year he and his ex-wife had a tofurkey. And I just remember losing... I mean, we'd been best friends since I was 16 years old, and I just looked at him like I didn't even know him anymore. Like, it would have been easier for me to entertain him coming out of the closet and being a gay man than eating tofurkey.
Right. Ain't nobody eating no tofu turkey, man. If you don't go home, it's the one thing we won't accept, man. Like, it's the one thing we can all agree on that everybody hates vegans. That's pretty much a universal thing.
Yeah. I remember growing up, Thanksgiving used to be the weirdest time because I had an aunt, a great aunt, who wasn't really my aunt, and she used to like pills and drinking, so she peed on the couch. And we had another one we referred to as Uncle Bigot, who always said something terrible at the end of the table.
Yeah. Oh, wait. But you know what, now that's... Like, if you want to have a family, you're going to have to accept a level of imperfection. That's really it. So Thanksgiving is actually my favorite time of year, my favorite holiday.
See?
Favorite one. Even though it's weird because I get mad at Columbus Day, but I celebrate Thanksgiving, so I guess I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah, and if anybody listening didn't get that joke, do some reading. See, to me, I learned a long time ago, I love my family, but in small doses. So I would get in trouble because my brothers get married and divorced a lot, and then they make babies a lot. And so I never know which kid goes with which person or which relationship it was in.
Right.
And as soon as you start asking, everybody gets irritated. Everybody goes bad. It's just, so I just run away. I've done it for years, and it's really fantastic.
If he can't keep up with his women, how could you?
So that's right.
That's unfair.
That's right. Now, we got so much to talk about. You're coming into the Improv. You're doing shows Friday, Saturday night, two shows a night.
Right.
Are there any tickets left?
I haven't even checked, man. I've been so busy working. Like, I just, like, gave my daughter when she just got married. So,
congratulations.
Thank you, man. I just finished. I'm writing another book. So it's been a lot, but I can't wait to get to Kansas City. You know, the first time I ever had... what's that place? Jack Stack? What is it?
Mm-hmm. Jack Stack.
Whatever it is.
Good.
Man, it's the first time I've had lamb ribs in my life. You ever had them?
Yes, I have. And I had to push myself to eat them because I'm such a pork and beef guy. But you're right. They're amazing.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't wait to get there just for that. Well, that, and I get to see Kansas City, and I get to see Amanda, and I get to go to Zona Rosa. So it's a trifecta.
Amanda is an absolute angel. I cannot tell you how much we love her.
We are.
She really is. And she adores you, DL. Yeah. I mean, she looks to you like a father. She really does.
And the feeling is mutual. Yeah. I mean, I like the good kind of father. You know the father. Not the father with the collar and the secrets.
Not the late night sneaky father. Right.
You love me, right? Hey, what is that all about? Like it's so much of that. Like it's so, like that's a weird thing because it's so much of that that's so prevalent. Like I remember. Like every time I turn around, a celebrity admitting they got molested, which is weird because it never happened to me. And I lived next to a registered sex offender. I was never even sexy as a kid.
That's how I felt.
In the house. Ain't nobody gonna waste no candy on you. Get out of here.
I was an altar boy and didn't get touched.
Right there,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
you had the oil and everything.
It's true, man. It does screw you up a little bit. And everybody else talks about how, I don't know if I look like a snitch or what, but I clearly they were not interested in me. It's
funny. And like, what I love about like stand up, like, cause you know, I do radio, like you do radio and you know, obviously you've been there and seen a lot of changes. So to me, it's always been kind of this way, like where it was very corporate driven and you know, PPM and all the kind of the metering system,
right?
But now, but there's still a certain, like you have to a certain degree, kind of be what they want, or you can't do that medium. But stand up is the one place where you don't have to be your own editor, your right. own director, your own producer, and it's really just it's not collaborative at all. It's just you, and that's why. I mean, it's the last great like place you can be independent and
yes,
say what you believe and. You know, have a level of, you know, independence that you can't get anywhere else, any other line of employment.
Well, DL, that's what makes you great. And I do believe this with all my heart. All the great comedians, slowly but surely, were changing culture because they were making jokes, but they were pointing out hypocrisy. They were pointing out the obvious, but they were putting it in such a way you don't have to hit somebody in the head with a sledgehammer. As much as I'd love to, I don't think you can beat a Nazi smart. But you can make a world laugh, and then suddenly they kind of realize the ridiculousness of it.
Right. Like I was, a studio executive wanted Julia Roberts to play Harriet Tubman. Like I guess if she had played Sally Hemings, she would have been sleeping with the enemy. But I think that's just how people, that's like, you can't have these juxtapositions of things that actually happen. And then, you know, there's a clear line you can cut through. And I think stand-up is just, the last, like, bastion of free, like,
yeah.
And people kind of know what they, I think people only get disappointed when you give them something they weren't kind of conditioned for. But I think, like, it's like if you had a sitcom and they didn't know what you did and they came out to see, that might be shocking. But if you are pretty much who you are, I don't think that people are ever really all that shocked by what they hear.
No, and then that's where I'm at. Like, I don't think this show, I was just talking to Nikki about this, everybody gets in trouble for little remarks and comments. And I think about how many offensive things have been said since 6 a.m. this morning.
Just today.
In another right. market where they don't know me, like, it would last less than a day, and they just yank me off the air, and that would be the end of that.
Right, right. Yeah. It could be, what you say is something that people just kind of don't agree with. I think that, you know, and it's really a simple thing. Like, it's not like high school. Like, you tried to have these plans, and if you didn't like this person, the other people that were with you didn't like these people.
Right.
But, like, now... You could decide what you want to hear or not hear. Now if you don't want to hear something, you go, well, let's get a whole group of other people so we can make sure that nobody hears it, which is kind of always been silly to me.
Which is crazy. And you know what I did, and I'm sure you do this, DL, is there comes a point in your life, and especially in radio or in comedy, and at least with radio with me, I just went, I could drive myself crazy wondering what I'm allowed to say and not allowed to say. And so I just gave up, went, listen, this is how I feel. If you're taking your the way to vote or your feelings of life or the way you should live from a disc jockey, then that's your fault. That's your problem. But if you get mad about what I say, then just go somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or if you take it, like... I think comedians are getting far too much deference these days. Just because you can form a joke doesn't mean you can run a country or run a business. It just means you have a keen perspective. But I think we're so devoid of that kind of perspective now that people kind of... It's like I remember when people hear a live band for the first time as opposed to recorded music. It's a whole different thing. So I just... But that doesn't... Like, our society is so devoid of people that think... Like, I was on this show last week in New York, and we were they were saying, what are you allowed to say? Well, like, what the meanest thing that somebody could do to you is blast you on Twitter, but that lasts 2 days until somebody else comes along and says something dumb. They can only care, I don't personally like Kanye West. I think when people say he's leading people to Christ, I'm like, so did Jim Jones. He did that.
So Koresh, that's right.
Yeah, when Kanye comes up with Kool-Aid, everybody will know I'm telling the truth. But he went from a rap artist, and now he's bipolar and a superhero. Nobody wants a bipolar superhero. Goddamn, aggressive.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how devoid we are. Like, we have reality stars as a president. We have a rap star as a mega preacher. It's like nobody, like everybody, like if you bought this, you'll go, well, I'll do that too. So it's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, but isn't it great for comedy? I was talking, it's a double-edged sword, I think. I think there's so much to talk about and so much to get into with comedy. But then, I was talking, I know you had Bob Saget on your show recently, and Bob's a dear friend. And he really feels the world. I mean, he's a real, genuinely empathic guy. And
he's a bright dude. He's a very. I think that sometimes because, you know, he was on, you know, the show he was on, a family kind of show.
Mm-hmm.
Two people are going to be convicted on there, but that doesn't make
sense.
It'll be their real family because everybody has a convict in their family.
Indeed. Yeah. He really gets sad.
But I think that he was one of those guys where he was so different than the character he played that when people came to see him, it was bracing for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that's fun. Isn't that the best, though? Because, I mean, you know, you had your TV show, you had the Hughleys, you're one of the big four, you've done your radio shows, all these different facets. You have to slightly change your personality a little bit, but the real one, like you said, like this weekend at the Improv, that's where it comes out. Right. That's where listen, this is my room, my stage, my house. You buy your ticket, sit down, and take the ride, but you don't get an opinion on it.
Okay. That's it. I mean, I think a lot of people do themselves a disservice when they only, like, I know a lot of comics that only like or play certain regions of the country. That's like, if you only play home games, you'll never be great.
That's right.
If you only play places that you're comfortable, you'll never be great. You'll never win a championship just to ever win at home. I think that, you know, people tend to live places to kind of, edify whatever their perspective on where they live and how they worship. And so the only way you can kind of have different experiences is to go everywhere that people are.
Yeah, that's it. You if you stay in your own little microcosm, you're only going to know what you know. You're only going to eat the food that's offered to you. You're going to hear the words that are offered to you. And that's how you really fail at this life. I was lucky enough as a kid to have that wanderlust. And it didn't matter if we were in a car scrounging together gas so we could just go to another city and look around, or you get old enough and you can jump on an airplane. But traveling has really opened my eyes to just realizing I don't know. And I'm still trying to figure it out as I move through.
And it's so funny how people are, once you get older, you want your dessert first. Like, once you get older,
yep.
You only do the things you like. Only do the things you like over and over again. You eat the same things. You think the same things. You read the same way. You never really. It's one of the reasons I did Dancing with the Stars, is I'm such a horrible dancer. I'm like, what better time to learn to dance than the rest of the world ridiculing you while you're doing it? I got the lowest scores in the history of that show, but literally.
Was it like terrifying?
Own me because I couldn't dance.
That's terrifying to me. That really is. Like, I would never do that. And I'd love to tell you, well, I'll try new stuff all the time. I'm always diving into new projects and trying new things. But the idea of dancing in front of a nation and not knowing, especially if you feel in your heart you're not killing it, like, that sucks.
Well, JD, I should have taken your advice. It was the most humbling, humiliating experience. I wanted to burn that place down after.
Will you ever watch it yourself? Will you watch a replay?
Hell no. But every once in a while, people bring it up. No, hell no.
Hell, that's all I want to see is the wins. Go back and watch your specials, man. Go back and, reread I Want You to Shut the F Up or How Not to Get Shot. Those are the high points, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because now How Not to Get Shot is going to be a we're going to do a series of specials on Comedy Central starting. So I will start shooting them in January.
Excellent.
We sold the book to Comedy Central. Good. Excited about doing it.
Good. And you have control over the edit and the way they're going to present it?
Well, I mean, I have the control of what I shoot and how I edit it.
Great.
I have control of whether they air it.
Yeah. Because that's it. That's what makes that book so great. And I think the visual is really going to bring it home.
I think the new book I'm writing on, I'm writing a book on a treaty between the United States and people of color, in all races. And I'm going to get let everybody off the hook for being racist, and I'm going to let everybody off the hook. It's the most fun I've ever had writing a book.
Good. But man, isn't it great to be this far in your career and still challenging yourself, but doing better than the last time upward arc?
What's fun is that you can still, I guess they, but I think I would say if I'm not learning, I'm not living it. So I think the thing about that kind of thing is it's really the same thing. It's like water that comes in, how some use to wash clothes, with some you cook, some you take a shower. Same source, different uses. Mm-hmm. And I think your perspective is kind of that same way, too. So, you know, if you can say it on the radio or you can say it on stage, you can say it in a book. So
yeah.
It really is kind of different, just different faucets, just different sources, just different outlets.
DL, I can't wait to see you this weekend. I know you got Friday and Saturday night, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday.
It's going to be warm at least, right? It's not going to be freezing.
It's not going to be bad. It's going to be in the 50s.
Oh, man, I can handle that all day long.
Yeah, I mean it's not LA, but it's not brutal, man. It trust me. You could have got here, you know, this week and had it be, you know, 3 degrees before. So
yeah, I can't. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you, JD.
All right, my friend. Listen, I love you, and I'll see you very soon.
Love you too. Talk to you later, man.
See you. He is one of the absolute greats, one of the kings of comedy, the genuine kings of comedy. If you can do it this weekend, you need to jump online and buy the tickets now. And I'll even pull the curtain back a little bit on DL.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea how much he reaches out to Amanda.
Oh, and just the snippets of what we had time to talk with her about.
She's gone through a lot in her life, from cancer across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been so incredibly giving and caring and good. And I'm not talking about financially, I'm talking about phone calls, reaching out. Hey, how are you? What about this? Have you thought about this?
How are the kids? How's everybody doing?
Yes. And that's, you know, look, I've always loved his comedy, but again, there's something else, man. When you really, really love somebody's act, what they do, whether it be a musician, an actor, a comedian, it's incredible. But then you find out on the backside, there's another part of them that's even better than that part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, forget about it.
Well, and not even that part of just going to see a stand-up comic in a world where every a-hole who's mm-hmm. been on TV for 30 seconds gets in front of a microphone and thinks they're a comic now. Like, he is a true stand-up comic. Like, it is a show. It is crafted. It is make you think. Like, he's all the way around. Like, he's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, no, and he is unafraid. Listen, you will not agree with everything he says, I would say. I'd say there's a very good chance that you're going to go,
Yeah, and you probably will recoil at a lot of stuff. But later you might think about it and say, yeah, that guy's probably got a point.
That's the secret of comedy. By the way, it doesn't have to mean it's truth for you, your truth. It's supposed to make you think. That's all. But people get so wound up because I've told you this before. I really believe that if you talk to somebody about their religion, could be, and it could be as simple as a Catholic and a Baptist talking. It doesn't matter. But you see the other person get mad. It's because you've shaken their faith. You've shaken, instead of them just believing what they believe and letting you believe what you believe, somehow they're a little iffy inside. And so it comes out as anger, right?
Yeah.
Like if you walk up, and you call me a D-sucker or whatever, I'm like, what do I care?
Mm-hmm.
But if inside I'm really want to be one, but outside I don't want to, you to know I'm one.
Or even like, think,
and I'm like, I'm going to fight you for saying I'm a D-sucker.
Even in kind of seriousness, am I that kind of a bad person? Is there something wrong with me?
So
that's when you get the ball rolling.
Yeah, it makes people afraid. Like, listen, you voted for who you voted for. And if you're at a point now where you can't hear anybody else's opinion, listen, if you think and you're 1,000% sure your position is right, then why were you mad at somebody else because their position is wrong? Because that's the only option. If you really know in your heart, hey, man, this is how it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is my countertop right here in front of me, right? Yep. You could say it's a swimming pool all day. I'm not mad at you because that's absurd. I know the truth. This is a countertop.
Okay.
Why are you getting, why would I get mad? Now, if I didn't know what it was, you see what I'm saying? Like, when I see people get so crazy over politics, religion, or sexuality, or whatever, I'm like, you're not very sure about what you're saying right now, are you? You don't really know that you're right. You don't really know that you know. You're hoping you know. You're hoping you're in the right team. You're hoping you join the right group so that you won't look stupid or feel ridiculous in the end. But if you really know, I notice people don't get real mad.
Well, and I feel like it's officially the olden days.
I debate Bible Mike, who's an incredible pastor. You know what? He never gets mad.
Right, because you're respectful of each other while you're holding a conversation and listening.
And his faith is exactly where it should be. He believes unequivocally and without fail what he believes. And I'm not trying to change him. I'm just saying, I got questions, man.
Right, and I don't care if it's the latest Star Wars movie that T wants to tell me is the greatest thing in the world. Right. I don't care, but I'm going to be respectful and let you tell me all about how amazing it was. Great. Yeah. Next, let's be friendly.
At the end of the day, we all live in the Midwest because the earth is flat. So I think we can agree on that.
And dinosaur bones were just left here by the devil to fool us into thinking evolution is real. So.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show.
On 98.9 The Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.